Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now, we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be picking up in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Peter says these words, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." Once more, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." Here we have from the apostle, there is a fatherly appeal. It is an emphatic pleading and urging for the people of God to awaken, to understand their identity. We've heard quite wonderful things from the apostle as he describes what it is to be a Christian, how by the great mercy of God, Christians have been born again. They are new creatures in Christ. And based on this, they're called to a higher level of life. It is our best friends that tell us the most truth. And how special it is that the Lord has sent Peter to this church. How special it is that we get to hear these words, to hear this earnest appeal that speaks to our heart. I want you to think about the last time maybe you had a dear Christian brother or sister who spoke into your life, that said something that really set your heart on fire. I had that happen just this morning, just talking with the body of Christ, people speaking the things of God to me. It's encouraged me to realize who I am and what God has called me to do, to remember the promises that God has made regarding our lifestyle. And so he speaks here of the Christians, and he says that they are sojourners and exiles. And so this is a rich picture that helps us to completely understand who we are and what God expects for us. Let me define the sense of these two words. They're very similar in meaning, sojourners and exiles. And so this refers to someone who is a foreigner. This is someone who is living close to others as a temporary dweller. It is one who lives in a place without having rightful citizenship. It is one who comes from a foreign country into a city or land to reside there by the side of the natives. Hence, they are strangers. They are sojourners, and they live in a strange and a foreign country. And so we are sojourners through the new birth. At one time, we were a part of this world. At one time, in fact, we were not a people according to the Scripture, but after we came to Christ, we are now citizens of heaven. We belong to Him. We are royalty. And so I want to suggest to you that a sojourner and an exile is something that can be visually understood. It's something that can be visually perceived. We all realize when we interact and we meet with someone who did not grow up in our community, it's pretty clear to point out someone who's come from a different country. It's also noticeable, for instance, if somebody comes and visits Texas from Canada, right? We can tell their accent gives them away. I personally have a distinctive West Tennessee accent. And quite often, as I'm even in Dallas, people will say, "I can tell that you didn't grow up in Texas." For instance, How well do y'all think that Brother Kelly could go under a disguise if he were to go to Chicago, right? He would be found out as not being a native of that region. And so in the same way, in the Christian sense, we speak a different language. We are different, right? We are proclaiming the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Our speech is seasoned with salt, right? We are singing the praises of God. We speak of heavenly things. We're distinct. When people look at Christians, it shouldn't be confusing. It's obvious that these people are citizens of another land. They may not know where we come from or where we belong, but they should at least know this, that we are distinct and we are different. And so sometimes I wonder if those who are non-believers who surround us, if they were to observe our lives, if they were to look at us, would they simply observe and say that we fit in, that we look just like everyone else? Or would they be able to notice that these people are strangers? They are different. They don't belong here. And this is something that I've meditating upon this text, I've really tried to apply this to my heart. It's so difficult in America. It's so difficult to be a Christian in Dallas, Texas, just to fit in with the culture. We are plagued with a cultural Christianity where every door that you knock on in this city, if you ask them, are you a Christian? Sure, everyone's a Christian, but where's the distinctiveness? Where is the Christ likeness? Where is the difference that is so noticeable that outsiders, that residents of this world would quickly notice that we don't belong here in this community? And so I want you to consider Abraham. His tent gave him away. And so the inhabitants that Abraham encountered, they knew that this man was a sojourner. They knew he was a stranger. They knew he was a pilgrim passing through because of his lifestyle and because his tent, because he did not settle down, right? And so it was clear when you looked at this man that his heart was in heaven, that he was longing for a homeland whose architect and builder was God. And so it's true of a sojourner that while they may be in a distant country, their heart is always in their home country, right? This is where their family lives. This is where their friends are. This is where they own property, right? This is where they've settled down. So for the Christian, our heart is in heaven. And so as 1 Peter states, we are a royal priesthood. We are heirs of eternal promises. We are heirs of heaven. And this being stated, it is impossible for anything in this world to satisfy our hearts. Nothing along the way to everlasting life will be able to satisfy the heart of a child of the King. I want you to also consider Abraham's father, Terah, who, as the Bible tells us, he set out with Abraham and Lot and his family and his belongings, and it was his intention to head to the land of Cana. But the Bible tells us that he stopped in Haran. And so this is very significant, and it speaks volumes to the different types of people in the world. And there is such a strong tie in the world. There are so many things that would lead us to settle down in this world, to keep us from being sojourners and to making it to the promised land. And so while it may have been his intention, and perhaps he was called of God to go to the promised land, he instead settled down in the world. But notice it was Abraham who was called of God to leave his possessions, to leave his family, and to go to the land that the Lord would show him. And so this is the type. This is the figure. This is who we represent. We don't want to be like Abraham's father who did not make it to the promised land, but we want to be like Abraham, who is willing to dwell in tents, who is detached from the world. He was a stranger. He was a sojourner. And because of his freedom, because he wasn't attached and he didn't lay foundations in this world, it gave him the liberty to receive the promises of God. And so this man is fascinating to me. The distinction that the Scripture gives to Abraham over that of his father is simply remarkable. We have just a very short description of who his father was, but the Bible zooms in. It focuses on this great and mighty father of the spiritual, this blessed man. And so if we ask, why is that? I think it comes down to this, the very thing that we're studying this morning. He was willing to follow God. He was not tied down by the world. And so we see the full power and the grace of God is channeled, is poured out, overflowing into the lap of this man of God because he was willing to be a citizen of heaven. This was his mindset. This was his heart to be a citizen of heaven. And this is the same attitude that we are to adopt today. This is what God is looking for more than anything. The Lord Almighty, who looks at the churches, who walks among his churches, whose eyes range to and fro throughout the earth, he is not looking for terrorists, so to speak, but he is looking for Abraham's. He is looking for those who are willing to obey him to the fullest extent, who are not caught up in this culture of American and tied down and weighed down by all the pleasures of this world. And so this is our call this morning, to consider our life and to be like this great man of God. Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners, as exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. And so, as we head along this journey towards heaven, there are things that come along our path that cause us and tempt us to go off to the left or off to the right from the straight and narrow. And Peter calls these the passions of the flesh. And so this word here, passion, is used in a positive sense and it's used in a negative sense. It can refer to positive desires for God and for the Spirit. It can also refer to negative desires to follow after the sinful nature. And that's the way that Peter uses it here this morning, to refer to the desires of the sinful nature. These are the things that he is appealing that we abstain from. Galatians 5:16, this word is used, and I think we get a full sense of the way Peter means it as he wants us to understand the passions of the flesh. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. First in verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I want to comment on this first part and take this in order. And so here we have a profoundly simple text, but within this scripture, we have such freedom and power and meaning, and the answer to one of the single greatest problems of mankind. How do we overcome the sinful nature? How do we have mastery over the passions of the flesh? Simply put, the Bible reads, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. A man who has eaten the nicest food in town, and he is satisfied within his soul, he is full, he is not going to go out and eat junk food. And so it is by being full of the Holy Spirit, it is by being full of the Word of God, it is by possessing the Holy Spirit and following His lead, that is how we overcome the passions of the flesh. Verse 17, for the desires, and so there's our word, the passions of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the passions of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And so here we get a sense here of what Peter's talking about. We have this picture of a war that is taking place. The soul of man is being pulled in two directions by these two competing passions. Then in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19, Paul answers the question as to what the passions of the flesh are. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so there we have a definition of what it is to be a citizen of the world, to be enslaved to the passions of the flesh. And by contrast, if we continue to read in Galatians verse 22 and following, we get a description of what it is to be a citizen of heaven. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I just want you to think here. We have two different citizens who are described here. We have those who belong to the world, who are engrossed in the desires of the flesh, and then we have those who have abstained from these things, who are citizens of heaven, who are full of the Holy Spirit, and they are gratifying these desires. Do you see how it would be easy for the world, those who are living according to the flesh, those who are floating down the stream, as they see that individual swimming upstream, as they see someone who is full of the Holy Spirit and is walking in the power of Christ, do you see how they would notice this person doesn't belong here? This person is strange. This person is different. They're a citizen of another country. And so this is not just an outward profession, right? These people don't merely pretend or claim to be Christian, but they are radically different within the heart. And so notice what the Bible says about these passions and what they do. They wage war against your soul. And so we think of sin as something which is offensive to God, and this is very true. But here the sense is a little bit different. Here we have the idea of self-destruction, right? Those who sin, those who break God's law, they're giving an open door for the devil to wage war against their soul. They are destroying themselves. The wages of sin is death. And those who continue to live according to the sinful nature will just destroy themselves altogether. War is one of the most dreadful words in our vocabulary. This word has fresh and new meaning as we are witnessing war in Europe, as our TVs are full of graphic imageries of the evils of war. Yet the devil comes against us with far greater power and hatred than any earthly enemy. The unseen war of the soul far exceeds anything that we can perceive in this natural realm. The consequences are lasting and eternal. I want you to think about this word soul. There's a war for the soul. What will a rich man do in order to protect his wealth, his lands, and his treasure? How much more should we be concerned about our soul, right? What would profit us if we gain the whole world, if we were to be owners of everything that is precious and valuable, if we were to lose our soul? This teaching from Jesus clearly lifts up the supreme worth. The soul is the most costly thing in the universe. And so as we turn to Scriptures, as we renew our minds, it should cause us to be in awe of the extreme worth of our soul and the soul of others, and it should cause us to do whatever it takes to protect our soul, and should urge us to abstain from the passions of this world. And so maybe this morning you hear the Spirit's voice to get up from your homelands in a figurative sense. Maybe you hear the call of God to be detached from this world, to break the fetters and to break the bonds, those things that hold you back from being liberated like Abraham, from truly professing in your heart that you don't belong in this world, but you are a citizen of heaven. Maybe this morning you've compromised with the passions of this world. You are bound by these desires. Would you hear the words of Peter, this appeal to abstain from the passions of the flesh, to be a sojourner, to be a citizen of heaven? Maybe this morning there are roots that have been put down in your life and they're not from God, and maybe they need to be uprooted. If you consider Lot, very similar to the story of Abraham, right? He settled in Sodom, and it is clear that God had to do a mighty work of deliverance to call Lot out of this land. And his wife Lot, right, it was her heart. She was a citizen of this world. She turned back, and it was for her destruction. And so God is at work in the world to save his people. He knows how to save his people from crisis hours, and he wants to call his people out of the world to be citizens of heaven. Also, as we consider this thread throughout the Old Testament, we think of the people of Israel and how they were in bondage in slavery, and then the Lord called them out of Egypt. And this describes the Christian experience. This is what God is doing for you and me. But you notice, if you follow that narrative, their hearts turned back to Egypt. They longed to go back to the world to eat and to feast upon the luxuries of Egypt. And this is the very thing that we must warn ourselves against: looking to the world, settling down, turning back. We're to keep our eyes fixed on eternal things and this eternal inheritance that cannot fade, that is incorruptible, that is kept for us in heaven. This is the heart that we are to have. And so this is our desire here at the Main Street Church of Christ. This is why we assemble here this morning, to appeal, to urge to one another, to remind each other that the hour is short, and there are so many things that catch our eye. And I hope that you'll take this text home this morning, this short little verse, that you will read it, and you'll say to yourself and to the Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, right? I don't want my inheritance now. I don't want to be like Esau, who sold his birthright, who sold his inheritance for a single bowl of soup. This speaks to the idea that he wanted his reward in the moment, and he gave up eternal glory and riches, metaphorically speaking, and in the same way, we must not desire to have our inheritance now in this world, but desire to have everlasting glory. And so the Bible calls each and every one of us to repentance. We are to turn away from the passions of the flesh, and we are to turn to the Word of God, which is the Spirit. We are to repent and to be baptized, which represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We're to have our sins washed away. We are to passively receive the grace of God. If you have not come to Christ, this is the time to do that. I would appeal to you to come forward as we stand and sing our invitational song. If you have any other prayers or any other desires of the church, will you also come at this time as we sing our invitation song?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call, and let's talk about your soul. You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. For an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless, churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessing for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.
Yeah.
Beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational acapella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians. Reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.